us. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1, is where we want to read. Beginning at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn into the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Then in verse 5, we can read where it says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left, and the woman was left of her two sons and of her husband. Amen. Then there is a scripture, and I don't want to take it out of context, as to say I'd really like to put it in the right context. In the book of Numbers 13 and 32, when the spies came back from spying out the land, and you know, Joshua and Caleb, Brother Terry, gave a good report, but then those other 10 spies began to speak, and the phrase they used, they said, it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants. And that statement was false. It was an evil report. Caleb said it is a land that floweth with milk and honey. But yet they said it's a land that eateth up its inhabitants. But I want to take that phrase and I want to preach for a little bit tonight, if the Lord would help us, on a land that eateth up its inhabitants. Would you ask the Lord to help us tonight? Precious God of heaven, Lord, I need you to stand by my side and help me. The burden I've got on my heart tonight, Lord, that I have felt, God, that you would anoint me and help me to preach. And God, I don't have it within myself or my ability or my words. But God, that you take charge of this service and my lips. You'd anoint me and you'd help, God, that some soul would get under conviction tonight, pray and accept you into their heart and life. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. A land that eateth up its inhabitants. Really, the truth of the matter is tonight every one of us is dwelling or living in one land or the other. And the best way I could describe it, I try to think of a way today to say it, but you're either living in the land of salvation or you're living in the land of sin. There is no borderland. There is no place you can live and have one foot on each side and be part of both worlds. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a Christian or you're not. And the thing about it is, when you are a Christian and you sell out to the Lord and you become an inhabitant of that land and living for Him, you're talking about the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Making rich and overtaking you and supplying your every need and being there in the midnight hour. I mean, to really be committed. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the Lord just doesn't seem to come when I call Him. But I want to ask you, have you really committed to that cause? Have you give your heart totally to the Lord? Not just when it's convenient, not just when you're in trouble, but have you sold out to an experience to serve Him? Amen. No matter what happens in your life, that makes the difference. Then the other land, the one I want to talk about a little bit, is a land that eateth up its inhabitants. It's a land that's cruel. It's a land that destroys. There's never been anybody that walked away from God, from holiness, from purity, from an experience with Him, and went out in sin, that did not, if by the mercies of God they came back, did not come back with scars and with stories and with tales and with heartaches and most of all with regrets. To look back and say, I never would have done this. And I would, and I talked with someone not long ago that talked to me a little bit about before they got saved and the life they lived. And just talking with them before that, you know, you never would have imagined some of those things. But they begin to tell me, my past stalks me, if you would, or it haunts me, or it I continually have flashbacks and things, and I feel unworthy to do things for the Lord. Can I tell you, the longer you stay in that land, the more regrets you have. The longer you live in sin, amen, the deeper you go in that terrible place. Amen. You might be a young person here and you're just dabbling around the edges and just, leaving this way and just starting down that road. And you think, like so many people, I won't go very far. It won't get a hold of me like it did this one. And it won't put me in the jail cell like it did that one. And it won't ruin me and cause my end, amen, to be a terrible end. But at any time, I know how to run to the altar, and I know how to pray, and I know how to seek God. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. Amen. You can't pray just when you get ready to pray, or just because you're in trouble. Amen. But it is only when the Spirit of the Lord begins to draw you. I tell you the truth, if I felt the Spirit of the Lord in this meeting, at any time, day or night, drawing me, I wouldn't wait and take a chance on one more service. But why I felt conviction, and why I felt the Lord, I believe I'd respond to that. Amen. I'd come. Amen. I'd give my heart to Him. Amen. In our text we read about this man by the name of Elimelech. And the Bible seems to leave an indication that he was a blessed man. The Bible said that, amen, he had property and that he fared very well in Bethlehem, Judea. His very name, Elimelech, means "my God is king." And then he married Naomi, and her name, of course, meant "the blessed of the Lord." And so you hear, you've got a couple that started their life, amen, one is saying, "God is my king." And the other is saying, "I have been blessed by the Lord." And they came together, amen, in that that holy unity of marriage, and begin a home, a blessed home, a godly home, a home that I just feel like that they put the Lord first in that home, and the Lord kept blessing them. But all of a sudden there came a famine into that land. Amen. I know that as long as you serve the Lord and live for Him, amen, there's going to be mountaintop experiences. There's going to be times that God visits us. But you got to admit, if you've been serving the Lord very long, there is also going to be times of famine. There's going to be times when you, amen, feel after the Lord, and maybe He's removed spiritually. You can't find Him. You can't feel what you want to feel. Amen. But that does not mean that you need to find another church, or you need to look in another direction. It was never God's will for Him to leave the house of bread and go down to the land of Moab, a land given to idolatry, a land full of sin. That was not God's will. Neither is it God's will for you, amen, to go from church to church. Oh, come on, help me just a little bit. Amen. I tell you what we need at Westside. Amen. What these other brothers need at their church is somebody that'll come in and say, "We're here." Amen. As long as this is a holiness church, can you say amen? As long as you're preaching the truth and, amen, trying to get to heaven and do the right thing, amen, we're going to stay with you. Amen. You want to see a pastor be able to bear the load a little better? Let somebody come up beside him and say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm here with you. I don't have the answers and I don't know just what to do, but I want to let you know I'm with you." Amen. Oh, somebody, my dad told me a long time ago. He was a smart man, wise man. He told me a long time ago, I started pastoring a little church right before my dad got sick and was there a few months. And you know, when you take a new church in a new area, sometimes you have an influx. You have people coming in. And I was all excited. I was my first church, and all these people started coming, and I was all excited. And so, you know, I called Dad and I told him, I said, "Daddy, boy, we're having revival. God's blessing us. This one left this church and this one left this one, and boy, they're coming on in." He said, "Son, I want to tell you something." He said, know, if they left somebody else's church to come to yours, he said, it's not going to be too long till they'll leave yours and go to somebody else. And he said, they'll run down that pastor in that church where they come from when they get to you. And said, but don't listen too much, because when they leave you, you're going to be added right to that list. And they're going to run you down also. I want to tell you, church, if you're one of them that goes from place to place, it's time for you to settle down. For your children's sake, for your soul's sake, it's time for you to say, hey, let the famine come, let the trouble come, let the storm come, but I'm settled in. My mind's made up. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to get out of God's will. Amen. I've said it before, Brother Joe. If I was a devil, and I'm not, but if I was, and I knew you was in God's will, Brother Hitson, you know what I'd do? I'd do everything I could to get you out of God's will. Here is a family, a couple, that's in God's will. They're being blessed. And because a famine comes, because a drought takes place, because they're not feeling what they want to feel, all of a sudden Elimelech gets a little nervous. And he says, we got to do something now. They needed to do something, all right. They needed to go to the horns of the altar, and they needed to pray and seek God. But we got to do something now before it's too late. What are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take everything we've got, and we're going to load the wagon before it gets any worse, and we're going to head down to Moab. I mean, we're not going to really be part of Moab. I had a family years ago left the church I was pastoring. Amen. One Sunday they just wasn't there, and I called them. You know, where are you at? And said, well, we've been praying about it. And said, we feel like going down to such and such a church for a while. I'm talking about a church that was not holiness. Amen. A church, amen, it was not even close to being where they needed to be with the Lord. A church that have the power team and all this kind of things in their, you know, sanction it and have it going on in their buildings. And I mean, terrible. But said, we prayed about it and said, they got so much for the young people. They've got so many things, and we just feel like, amen, it'd be the best move we could make. Amen. I tried to reason with them and talk with them. Amen. But I couldn't do any good. Can I tell you, in that land, they lost their children. In that land, they lost precious things. Why? It's not a land that's conducive for the Christian life. It's not a land. I want to tell you, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to sell out. You got to quit playing games. We're in 2009. We're on the verge of the coming of the Lord. It's time somebody got a hold of the Lord and pray through. Amen. It's a land that eateth up its inhabitants. Amen. They got down in that land. I mean, they got their wagon packed. And I preached years ago on victims of circumstance. I don't know how much Naomi actually had in the decision-making process. I don't know if Elimelech just looked at her and said, you load the wagon and close your mouth. Come on here now. Amen. And I don't know, but I know that whole family loads up. Amen. And they start down that road to destruction. When they get to that place of Moab, and they get settled in, it isn't too long until that land starts eating away at them like a cancer. That land starts devouring them. Amen. Maybe one day in the field, maybe one day at the house, all of a sudden a chest pain strikes him. Maybe weak spells begin to come on him. No thought of let's go back home. No thought of let's try to get this. Amen. Pray through and let's get back where we need to be. I just feel like telling you tonight, amen, there's some of you need to pray through and go back to the church where God set you in. Amen. Years ago, a sister came to me preaching a meeting, and she said to me and my wife, and she said, I was at such and such a church and something happened. I got my feelings hurt and said, I left there and I went here. And she named two or three churches. But she said, I need to know God's will. Where do I need to go to church? Amen. I've asked different ones. They just tell me to keep praying about it. And that's probably what I would have told her. But I mean, the Spirit of the Lord just moved on me. And I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you this. That church that you was talking about that you went to for so many years and how God blessed you there. I said, who told you to go there? She said, the Lord did. Amen. The Lord did. I said, that's good. I said, who told you to leave? Amen. Amen. Well, you see this happening. No, I don't want to know about all that. I want to know who told you to leave. She said, well, nobody. I said, well, if God hadn't told you to leave, I believe I'd go back to where God told me to go and I'd stay there until God gave me some different orders. Amen. It's not God's will for you to go around and hunt. Amen. A perfect church. The only perfect church is going up in the air and it'll be accumulated in heaven. But as long as we're here on earth, we've got to get where God put us and stay there and do the work of God. Amen. I said somebody needs to pray back through and go back home. Amen. But he didn't. Instead, maybe it was pride. I can make it. I'm a man. I made the decision to leave. I can take care of things. Amen. Whatever it was, before long he died. And that isn't the end of it. For while she is grieving and a little time goes by, amen, she buries her sons. Two sons. Three graves in a foreign land. What happened? Amen. If she was here and if she could tell the story. Amen, Brother Brad, she'd say, I came to a land that looked so beautiful. The trees were greener than they were back home. For we were in a bad drought. The crops looked better than they did back where we left. Amen. Oh, I mean, the commerce was better. The preaching was better. The singing was better. Come on, help me while I preach. Amen. I mean, it just looked so much better. But when we got in it, I learned it was a land that eateth up its inhabitants. That's what sin does to you. You leave for a little while, and you think, I'm not going to be out very long. Amen. I'm just a young person. I've just got a lot of living to do. But all of a sudden, you turn around, and your character's marred, and your testimony's ruined. Amen. And you're addicted to drugs, and you're addicted to tobacco, and you're addicted to pornography, and you're addicted to alcohol, and you're having unnatural affections. I want to tell you, say, it never happened to me. If you're in that land that eateth up its inhabitants, it will happen to you. Amen. One day, Lot, amen, and Abraham had to have a parting of ways. Amen. Their herdsmen, there was strife between them. Amen. And one day, amen, Abraham calls Lot over and he says, look, amen, this is not the way it should be. There should be not strife between brethren. And said, I want you to choose. Amen. Go up and look and choose a direction for your life. Choose the way that you will travel. And whichever way you choose to go, I'll take my herds and my herdsmen and we'll go in the other direction. And when Lot came to that place of choice, he stood on top of that mountain, that place, and he surveyed all the way around. And he looked at every option. And his eyes fell towards Sodom and toward Gomorrah. And the Bible says it reminded him of the well-watered plains of Egypt. Where did he ever see that? When Abraham got out of the will of God
and sojourn down to Egypt. Amen. God never told Abraham to go down there. And he didn't stay real long, but he stayed just long enough. I said he stayed just long enough for Lot, his nephew, to get a glimpse of it and to desire it and to want it. It don't take you long to go to that worldly church. It don't take you long to go down, amen, that road of compromise. Amen. You may pray through over it. You might get the TV back out of your house. You may get the DVDs back in the trash pile. You may make the right choice. But just that little space of time that you were in that far land, it got a hold of your children and it started eating away like a canker. And it reminded him of the well-watered plains of Egypt. You know what he done? He cast his tent toward, in the direction of, toward Sodom. He didn't start out the first day and rent a house. He didn't go in the first day and marry his daughters off. He didn't go in the first day, but you know all he did is set a direction. I wonder right here, is there some among us that's setting a direction? Amen. I tell you, I've been praying about this meeting for some time. I've been under a burden for it. Amen. Not to preach good. Amen. Not to go over. It hadn't been my desire whatsoever. But I've been praying, Lord, help the Calvary Holiness people. Lord, help the West Side Church. Amen. God, help St. Paul. God, help all the brethren that'll be there. Because we are in a critical hour. We are setting a direction in this meeting. Amen. In which way we're going to go? Are we going to keep preaching holiness? Are we going to stand for truth? Are we going to preach to our lost people and tell them sin is altogether sinful? Or are we going to turn and cast our lot toward Egypt? Amen. I'm preaching about a land that eateth up its inhabitants. He thought, I see a great opportunity for commerce. I think I'll go down to the gates of the city where all the business transactions takes place. I believe I'll get down there and I will wheel and I will deal and I will show them how to make money and what to do to be a success. Can I use you, Brother Robbie? You won't get upset at me. Amen. Stand up and let them see you. Amen. He's a short one. All right, you can sit back down if you want to. Amen. Amen. Not long ago, Brother Robbie, amen, bought a piece of property. Had some great dreams within himself, what I'd like to do with that property. Amen. He thought, I'd like to take it and I'd like to put in a nice RV park and I'd like to do this and begin to invest a lot of money and get things prepared and ready. Amen. To do something along that line. Amen. But one day in prayer, amen, the Lord came by and started dealing with his heart. Amen. And said, Robbie Guthrie, you don't need to do that. Amen. If that had been a lot of us, we'd have got out our pencil and our paper and we'd have said, well, I put this much in it and I'm this far with it and a little bit here and there. But you know what he said? I believe he spoke to his wife about it and said, you know, I'm just feeling a little trouble about this and I'm just not sure this is what we need to do. He came to service and the way the service went, the way the Lord moved after church, he said, I know that it's not God's will for me to go in that direction. I wonder, are we sensitive enough tonight to realize, hey, you don't need to step there. You might be, it might look good on paper, but it might be the very thing that eats your soul alive and carries you to hell. Amen. I tried to talk with a young boy one time. He got saved in the church and was doing good. He had some physical problems and he couldn't work. And so his dad, way out in California, told him, said, son, if you'll move out here, I'll put you to work doing some drawing and things he could sit down and do. Some ad work. Said, I'll put you to work You can live in the house with us. I mean, he just painted it out so good. It was a no-brainer. So he come to me and we was talking about it. I said, where are you going to go to church? Amen. We called around. There wasn't no church within 2.5-3 hours of where they was going to be. Amen. He was going to move in the house with his dad, which was not a Christian and did not have a Christian home in any sort of the fashion. Come on here now. And so he asked me what I thought about it. I said, I think it's a terrible move. I think it'll be the loss of your soul. I think you'll go out there and you'll lose out with God. Amen. I think you'll get out there and it'll eat you alive. Amen. But it looks so good. Amen. To when the car rolled out. Amen. We'll drive the 2.5 hours to church. We'll have church in the home. We'll stay where we need to be with God. But it wasn't too long till the phone calls quit coming. It wasn't too long. Amen. Till they was out of church. It wasn't too long. Till that hair was cut. It wasn't too long till them shorts came back on him. Are you helping me preach? I'm telling you, he cast his lot in the wrong direction. And they're lost tonight. And they're undone today. That land ate them up and spit them out. And he thought, I'll be the exception to the rule. I wonder if that's what Lot thought. I mean, I've got the influence of Abraham, the friend of God. I've seen him pray. I know what it takes, and I can handle this. But when he got in that place, there came a day that city was so wicked. And I'm just, you know this, I'm just preaching with my heart. There came a day the wickedness came up before the Lord. Those angels came down to see if it was really as terrible as it all seemed and looked. And when he got there, they came to Lot's house. And the men of the city were so perverted that they desired to molest those angels. Amen. And Lot was so far from God till he said, let me send my daughters out to you to have, to abuse, to use. But just leave these men alone. But they wearied themselves to find the door. Amen. He left. Amen. The angels pulling them out. Amen. What happened with Ruth? She lost her husband and her two sons. What happened with Naomi? She lost her husband and two sons. What happened to Lot? He lost his wife. And he lost his daughters. And then there's that famed story of the prodigal son. Way down in that far country. He left the father's teaching, the father's love, the father's provisions. And then he made that statement, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Dad, you've been pretty good, but you're not as smart as I am. You've invested good and you've made some good choices, but we're in a different time now, Dad. And I tell you, I can take that same money and I can show you what to do with it. And he loaded his pockets up and took everything he had. Went down in that far country. And he found out that it was a city that eateth up its inhabitants. And I want to hurry, but when he got through, his pockets was empty. His character was flawed. He had wasted his substance. Everything he was, everything he thought he could be, he wasted his substance on riotous living. Amen. And there was nothing left. He was in a hog pen. He was on the bottom and nobody would even give him anything. But in his desperation, he came to himself. I'll tell you what happened to Naomi one day. She heard there was bread, amen, in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Judea rather, that the Lord had visited them. And she said, I'm going to go back home. I'm broken. I'm wasted. I don't have nothing. This land has eaten me alive. But if God will help me, I'm going to go back home. Amen. You know what the prodigal done? He acknowledged, I've done wrong. I've sinned. I'm going to go back home to my father. And just maybe he'll take me thing about this land that eateth up its inhabitants is it don't ever get any better till you get out of that land. Amen. Well, I preached to them down in the jails many times and seen them cry and pray and tell me what all God had done for them. I could see them coming in the door when they getting out. You know what? They'd get out and I wouldn't see them for a day, a week, a month. I'd go back down the jail to preach and there they'd be again. What are you doing in here? They'd drop their head and they'd say, I really meant to. I really thought I could. Amen. But you see, they dwelled in a land that eateth up its inhabitants. The only way to get out of it, friend, is to change lands. I'm going to tell you this and we're going to pray. I hope you can get a hold of this sinner friend tonight. Young person that's right on the edge of just really going on deep in sin. I'm trying my best to throw up a flag and stop you and tell you that land is going to destroy you. It's going to waste you. It's going to throw you to the side. While this other land will turn your life around. Several years ago, we had a young boy that I pastored in Alabama named Daniel French. He's still in church. I thought about calling him, see if I could get him come one night. Daniel and Valerie. Daniel, my church has heard me tell it, but Daniel was in and out of jail as a young man. He done drugs. He dealt drugs. He had just a terrible lifestyle. And his granddad went to our church. When he was a little boy, he'd come at times. But he got up. And he got in that land that wastes its inhabitants. In a little while, he's, amen, facing time in the penitentiary. He's so bound by these drugs and things. He can't hold a job. Come on here now. I'm going to tell you, if you can't hold a job, amen, you need to pray. And ask God to give you the ability to stick with a job and stay with it. Couldn't keep a job. It's always somebody else's fault. Amen. He had got together with Valerie, and they were not married. They had a child out of wedlock. I went down to the jail to visit with him, talk with him, and pray with him. God got to dealing with his heart. I'm talking about a young man in his early 20s that his life was wasted. Amen. God saved him. He got saved in the jail and came to church and kept praying and doing good. When he got out, this young girl, Valerie, that he had the child with, they'd been living together, he got out, he told her, he said, I'm going to live with Mama when I get out. She said, why? What are you talking about? You know, you got a place right here. He said, no. He said, I got saved while I was in jail. She said, well, I'm saved too. He said, well, I got a different brand. He said, the kind I got, he said, you don't live together unless you're married. That's fornication. She didn't understand. And he moved, got out of jail, moved in with his mom, and he'd go by and pick her up and take her to church on Sundays, and the little boy. Finally, after a few weeks of her coming, one day she told him. She said, Daniel, do you love me? Oh, you know I love you. Love that child. Said, you got to make a choice between me and God. Said, I'm not going to live like they live. I'm not going to dress that way. I'm not going in that direction. Said, you got to make a choice. He looked at her. He told me about it later with tears rolling down his face. He said, Valerie, I do love you. And I love that boy. Said, but I love Jesus more than I love y'all. He looked at her and he said, I am not going back to those drugs. And I'm not going back to that bottle. And I'm not going back to the man I used to be. I've been eat up enough. I've been spit out enough. I've been eat up and used enough. And he said, I've found a master that's treating me good. I found a savior that's loving me. I found somebody that's putting peace in my heart that helps me sleep at night. And he said, I'm not going to go back to it. Amen. Things got a little tough there. They started having custody hearings for the little boy, Landon. And I was talking with him, praying with him, working with him.
Every time he said they'd have a conversation, it'd end up in bad way. One day, and we'd already went down, and I was helping him, and the next week was the final custody hearing for that little boy. That Sunday morning, he woke up, he got to praying, and he said the Lord spoke to him, said, call Valor and invite her to church this morning. He said back to the Lord, Lord, I really don't feel like getting cursed out this morning. And I know how it's going to be, and you know. And the Lord dealt with him again, just call her. So he did. He said, Valerie, I'm going to church this morning. And said, I just felt like calling you and see if you want me to come by and pick you up and carry you and land at the church. Silence on the phone. Said a little bit, he could hear her crying. Said, Daniel, I want to go to church. Said, but I've said so much about those people, and I've said so much, said, they won't accept me. And she said, he said of a truth, Valerie, there isn't a service that goes by that somebody don't call your name in prayer and say, remember, Valerie, let's pray God will save her. Woo! I'm telling you, there's a land eating you up. But while it's eating you up and destroying homes and tearing you all apart, there's old gray-haired mama and grandma in a church somewhere calling your name in prayer, saying, God, pull them out. God, save them. God, turn their life around. Oh, I feel like preaching. I've preached too long probably already. Amen. And so we went by and got her, came, brought her to church that morning. Brought her to church Sunday night, Wednesday night. Brought her to church. Hearing was maybe that Thursday or Friday. Wednesday night, she made a break for the altar. Amen. And prayed all the way through. Amen. They called everything off. They didn't have no money. He's trying to pay off all his fines and trying to, you know, survive. And he got him a job. And he'd had it, you know, a good while, longest time he'd ever had a job. Somebody asked him, said, Daniel, where are you working? Amen. He said he was, I can't remember just how he said it, but he was this and that and other down at the laboratory. And what he was doing is he was a janitor at the rat farm where they raised these experimental rats. He's a janitor. Boy, he could stray. I'm a technician, maintenance technician down at the laboratory, to a scientific laboratory. That's why he put it all out there. Boy, you'd think he had a white coat and everything. Amen. But he's a janitor at the rat farm. But every morning he was there. Praise God. You may not be the CEO of a company, but I tell you, if you can get a job as a janitor at the rat company, show up every Sunday, or rather every Monday, not Sunday, don't work on Sunday, that's bad, but show up on Monday, show up on Tuesday. Amen. Come on, help me. And after holding that job down, trying to pay them fines off, Renee and Greg was fixing to get married. And I mean, Sister Mary, they had one of them shindigs like you like. Woo, lace and flowers, and they had it all decorated. I don't know how many Calebs they set out. There's a lot. And they came to Daniel and Valerie. And they said, I've done been talking with them. We'd been talking. They said, we know you're wanting to get married. We know she's wanting a nice wedding. And said, what we want to do is after our wedding, said, we're going to leave the whole church decorated, everything set up, and said, y'all just come on in, have your wedding, and then we'll come back in and clean it all up. Hey, man, I preached two weddings the same Saturday. And the best one was when I got ready to give. Hey, man, I asked about, you know, who giveth this woman to be married to this man, and little old Landon, about 3 years old at the time. He said, I do. Woo! I do! Praise God, I mean, ain't it dry in the house? Amen. God put it back together. Amen. Satan divided and he spit it out. But when you come back home, when you give Jesus your heart, when you really get saved, I'm telling you, he'll turn it around. He can put that home back together. He can do the impossible. If you say, I'm just going to, we call it jailhouse religion. Yeah. You know, boys will pray down in the jail, they in trouble, and if things don't work out, they just lose everything they prayed about. Yeah. But every now and then,
somebody to pray through in a jail. And it don't matter how it turns out, they got saved. If you just pray because you think God's going to fix everything, it probably won't work just that way. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what, God can get in the arrangements. Amen. They got married. God's blessed their home since then with another child. Now they've been married several years. I went with him to the court of pardon and paroles, appeals and all that down in Montgomery, Alabama. He was trying to get a pardon. Hey, man, I tell you, we went in there and we done some preliminary things. And we went there for the actual day. And he told me a lot of things he'd done, but I didn't know. And that judge flipped open that paper and it just kept a rolling. Daniel French, yeah, that's me. He said, say you want a pardon. Yes, sir. He began to talk with him and then he wanted me to say something. I prepared for that just like I'd prepare for a sermon. I mean, I had notes and outlines, everything. I was ready. Amen. And I had never been called down for preaching yet. Hallelujah. The closest I ever come, amen, I got to talking about how, amen, Daniel couldn't hold a job, but he had the same job at that time for like two and a half years. Amen, how he used to bring them old drug addicts to church and they'd pray. And he was at their Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival. Amen, I mean, I just laying it on. I was telling about all this, that, and other. And I was really almost finished anyway. And the judge said, well, preacher, I think we've heard enough. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they conferred together, several of them. A little bit he turned around. And he said, the state of Alabama does grant unto you, and give his name, ever how to do it. And he said, a full, free, absolute pardon. Amen. Woo! You know what I told him? I said, I believe I'd go and apply for a pistol license just because I could now. Don't fall out with me. I said, I believe I'd go register as a register to vote. Amen. That's right. Because I can. I want to tell you, listen, sin may have eaten you alive, but Jesus is in this service tonight to seek and to save and to turn your life around. You don't have to go no deeper in sin. You don't have to add no more to your tab, but you can be saved tonight. Would you stand to your feet? Amen. Somebody would come. Sarah, you got a song? Come on. Amen. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would just take charge of this service. Amen. Oh, I would the Holy Ghost would just move in this meeting tonight. You're here and you're not where you need to be with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're struggling. Amen. You say, Brother Steve, I'm not saved. And I know if I was to die tonight, that I'd not go to heaven. I want to tell you, the longer you stay in that land, the worse it's going to do in your heart and life. The more it's going to eat and destroy. But if you'll make up your mind just like the prodigal, and he came to himself. And that wasn't just all he done. He didn't have just good intentions. But he arose, and he headed home. And that's where you're at tonight. You're here in this service. The spirit of conviction is trying to help you. Would you come out of that land? Would you let Jesus save you? Church, would you help me pray right now? Precious God of heaven. Oh, Lord, I've done my best to preach. But you laid on my heart tonight. And God, I just feel like there's somebody here tonight that sin has been eating and working and destroying. Lord, will you save them? Will you save them? What about it while the church is praying and they're playing? Is there one right now you say, Brother Steve, I'm not saved. I'm lost. I'm undone. And I want to give my heart to Jesus. Amen. Will you come right now? Sinner, will you come? Young person, will you come? I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm already getting deeper in sin than I ever thought I would go. I've already partook of more than I ever intended to. Oh, Brother Steve, please pray for me. Is there one? Quickly come. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Maybe there's some here and you'd say, Brother Steve, I've been a praying, but I need that sanctifying power of God to come into my heart and life. What are you talking about, Brother Steve? I'm talking about praying through until the desires of this world takes flight and you no longer want the things of this world. Amen. Praying through and getting a sanctified experience where you want to live holy and please God and be acceptable. Amen. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I need God to give me that work of purity in my heart and life. I've been a praying, but it seemed like it's a struggle. I'll be up a while and down a while. I tell you what'll take that struggle away is a good old-fashioned dose of sanctification. Praying through. The old-timer said, praying through. Amen. That's what you need to do right now. Come on, is there one right now? Amen. Oh, I want God to do a work in my heart and life. I want to get closer to Him. Come on. There's some of you needing to step out from West Side right now. I don't know about everybody else, but I know about West Side. There's some that needs God to sanctify you and help you. Amen. Bless Brother Dykes. Is there another? Amen. Oh, some of you brethren, come in and pray with Brother Dykes. Is there another? I need that sanctifying power in my heart and my life. Amen. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. I need these folks to pray with me that God will do that work in my heart and life. Oh, will you come? Is there another? Amen. This is not just a general altar call yet. Amen. I'm needing help, Brother Steve. I'm not wanting to get this land to eat me up again. I want to be set free and loosed. Oh, bless these young folks that's coming. Is there another? Is there another? While these are coming, are you here? You need to be saved. Would you come? Would you join us? Maybe there's some need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why don't you start seeking tonight? Come on in. Everybody that would, let's begin to pray and seek God.